ever Community Connect, if you go online on their website, you'll find Community Connect that has all the links for the co-ops that I could find. It took me all year to find co-ops, to find people, and there are hundreds of homeschool families in East Idaho. You know, East Idaho is larger than like Vermont, New Hampshire, New Jersey, all put together, right? Yeah. So, I just wanted you to know how this started. And then, where are you? Rachel volunteered to be responsible for Community Connect, and she's done a great job. She's had face-to-face, phone-to-phone contact with a lot of our co-ops, and so it's your turn.
I should probably put this up on the thing. Yes.
I was talking to people, you know, people that are here, because that's what I like to do. Instead of just taking care of technological difficulties. This is our first time. This is what that sheet looks like. It's just going to be a little sheet. And it's just from all of them.
And it has, it's probably wrong.
It's all updated.
It's all updated.
And it constantly changes. So it's not
like something you can find.
This is a resource. If you go to our EIHE.org, you click on Community Connect, and it says there's three buttons. It says Get Connected. You click on that, it'll take you directly to this sheet. It's got all the co-ops and Facebook groups listed that you can access and explore and any information. That's my job, is to keep it all.
And she does a great job.
These are the leaders of our co-ops in East Idaho. They are here to help us, and I'm so grateful that they are here. These are the people behind the scenes. You know, this scene is not me. I just got to do all the phone calls and texting and coordinating. Okay, so I got some questions. We're going to just have them introduce themselves and their co-op, the area that they're from, and a little bit about their purpose. We'll start with that. Okay? Who would like to?
Should we make you go first? Thank you.
Sure. My name is Adam Robinson. I am a member of the Compass Family Co-op. We're located in Idaho Falls. We've taken a lot of firs and roads, Yukon area as well. Typically, we have about 50 families in our co-op.
Do you have a,
what's like your purpose, goal, vision?
I wish I would have had our mission memorized, but we have a kind of a free market society where we do have classes that we offer. We do four sessions of classes each Monday, and what we want to offer is we want to well-round our children. We love our kids, we love your kids, and we want to make this a place where they can learn things, perhaps that sitting in a chair for 8 hours isn't conducive to their learning ability and doesn't give them the opportunity to learn some good real world skills that we've seen all over the years. So it's a wonderful opportunity to teach our children great social skills along with other skills that they'll use throughout their life, just like everyone else sitting right here. So thank you.
I'm Kathy Sellers-Gold. I am part of one of the city. There's a QR code and so far you can make your website. We are new, we are about 2 years old, and our purpose is to create a community of homeschooling families. It's mostly a social experience but the goal is not academic necessarily. It's to help people feel connected and to help them become better people. We have about 20 families, and we on Tuesdays support us in a good venture.
I'm Christina Hatch, and I'm representing Quest School Community. We're here in Pocatello. We meet on Fridays, and our mission is that we're on a quest to invest in our education, connect as a community, and inspire lifelong learning. And so, literally, that is we character and leadership from great examples through biography and literature. And we have a whole bunch of different types of electives and activities, and we really try to make it feel like more community. And as I'm sure you guys do as well. And yeah, it's great.
My name is Lacey Sauter, and I'm here representing RISE. We are in the Rexburg, Rigby, North Side of the Hall, Young Foundation Hall area. We meet in Manand, and kind of in the middle. About 4 years old, and we have about 24 families right now. RISE stands for, I'm going to read it, Relationship, Integrity, Stewardship, and Excellence. And that's kind of our focus of the classes we choose, is creating that character in our children focus. So we meet on Friday morning, and we can have a great time.
I'm Zoe Wallen, and I'm out in Aberdeen, and we're a really small town, and I felt a big push that we needed a homeschool community, so we started our little homeschool group out there. We meet on Tuesdays. We just do like a science curriculum together. We're in the age groups. We do some fun field trips, some fun parties. But really, the goal is to just have a community out of our poverty, because there wasn't any options for the homeschool families out there. We have ranged from like 10 to 13 families per semester. I also attend the Portland Homeschool Co-op, and I was able to be here today, but I'll put a plug for them because they're awesome as well. They meet Monday mornings and have three different classes, and it's been also a good experience for my kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovely activists. Okay, let's see. I was trying to think of which one would be the next good question. Okay, I feel like you guys all talked a little bit about community or oneness in your group, especially as homeschoolers. So what helps create that strong sense of community among your co-op?
I'll just leave to whoever has the answer first. We don't all have the answer, just whoever has the answer. Okay, perfect.
So at Quest, we focus on community with the different age groups. So as mothers, we have a mom's retreat we have every year, where we get together for 2 days at one of the women's cabins they have at the park. And we focus on inspiration, where we're reading books and doing activities and playing games and being goofy and just connecting as well. And I find that helps a lot for us, working together and knowing us as a community. And then throughout the year, we have mom's nights where we get together and play games, do crafts, go to a lot of hot springs, that kind of thing. And then for the kids, we have a lot of teenagers in our co-op. And so we have activities every other week after we get out of the co-op. And then we also have like trips and adventures, and they do plays together, and lots of other opportunities to meet up just within character classes, so the classes of their age group. And then we also do showcases and things with the younger kids in elementary school too. We have a lot of great things.
I just really wanted to agree with you. I feel like when that oneness is within the relationship of the mom and the parent there, then that just affects the whole environment for the kids when they see and feel that. And so making those connections together. Well, we do a couple of date nights too, where a couple of activities are happening. And we have that on the kids, and that just goes into our brainstorm.
Our structure is a little bit different coming on Tuesdays, but every fourth session we have a field trip day, so it's in our same time period and everything, but it's not an extra, it's just the normal. So that is more of when we socialize and want to get the experiences and have kind of within the normal bit of education. So it's really interesting way to reconnect in different ways and also give the teachers a breath of air between teaching.
Did you have them? Yes.
Just one quick comment. So I'm the first dad to ever be on our Compass family board. We've been around for about 10 years. And of course, I have a business mindset. That's my background. That's what I do every day. And I have the luxury to work from home, so I can do that. And so the first thing I did is I was thinking to myself, boy, let's scale this thing, let's grow this thing, because we have people out here that want to be a part of homeschool. So I was talking to the board, and I was like, hey, yeah, let's, you know, I was scale stuff like this before, let's do it, and they're like, you don't want that. And I learned that it's not all about size. And so it's been a great opportunity to be like, you know what, we don't want a whole bunch of families, because just like these ladies said, when you have groups of 5, 6, 20, you have that strong sense of community. Now, we do a great job with 50, but we've actually gone the other way. And I left on board and said, you know, we want to go smaller. We want to have and embrace more of that community feel. And that's what we're trending towards. So if you're out there and you're like, oh, bigger is better, maybe it's just that the guys are like, okay, business, that's what we do. That's not the case. So I love that you have the smaller communities, because that builds that community. So just one of my 2 cents.
Oh, yeah. Go, Lacey.
I hope I'm not changing the subject. I love having our community. One drawback I see from it is when we meet with the team population. It's a lot harder because I think jobs, I can't be there as much. And so a lot of times when I have a 7-year-old and a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old in that youth group age, and they want to come, but they don't create time with their friends, and now going off and doing so they can go back to school or whatever. And so that's where sometimes I feel like a question would be, how do we at the team level pull together for co-ops and create something for them? So we should get those numbers, and they don't feel like I'm the oldest one there, and I go, you know, I should be going or whatever. And the thoughts that I did have with that, with the other kids and with the union and getting that relationship with our families, I totally agree that small numbers are easier and more manageable, and to make those connections need to happen. But I don't know what to do with the teams at that point. And so one that our kids might come or whatever. And what ideas do you have?
We've actually worked really hard to build our team program, and so the co-op originally started 4 teams, and so the only reason we even have a junior school for elementary school students was because they have younger brothers and sisters. And so we really focus on building up that team group. But once again, there's only so many active homeschooling teenagers in a given area. And I think it would be a good idea to coordinate more with the co-ops within Pocatello and create opportunities for them to get together. I think that's a good idea. Yeah. She's saying a 14 and up is where they seem to start dropping off. And I think it's a good idea to create more opportunities, like the co-ops. I think we should see that probably in a second. Can you work in it?
Yeah.
Because I love that. But let's give these people just maybe a little more taste of what you guys have to offer, and then you guys can be excused to go. These guys have some deep collaboration questions that we're going to try and hash out. You're welcome to stay and listen, but it'll be more of a small group, and you won't lose the microphone. Because one of my purposes is the community to connect, and that fancy word, community connect coordinator, that is a beautiful alliteration, is to connect these guys together so that we can have a stronger community as a whole. They create your smaller communities that can be more intimate, and then we can have this beautiful East High Pearl community. I just wanted to ask, like, what is something you love about your group, or like a favorite or meaningful experience from your co-op? And this could be like a co-op that you're a part of. Obviously, you guys are leaders, so this could be a different perspective. So share something that you love.
One of the things I love about cooperatives in general has been that you can see people coming and bringing their strengths and giving them to everybody. But it's such a beautiful experience to see other people contributing with their strengths and being able to bring their own and contribute in their way. And just to build that, I feel like that's part of the building of the community, is that we all pull from each other's strengths and support each other in our weaknesses.
Very similar. I love that my kids have other mentors besides me who love them and see their strengths and can connect with them and encourage them. One thing that we do in our co-op is we do showcases every semester, and one time could just show you sort of we're doing the science fair. And I ended up taking like the week off of school with everything else. We only prepared for the science fair. And my husband took one of the boys, and I took one of the boys, and we spent the whole week working on these science projects and presentations and poster boards and all the things. And it was probably one of my top three favorite homeschooling experiences ever. Being able to connect with my kid like that and do deep learning, and the sense of like pride and accomplishment that he had before he even presented. And side note, my kid did end up winning the science fair, and it was like the highlight of his life. And just having that fun moment as a family, going out to high school afterwards, you know, after doing all that hard work, it's just a lot of fun. And having all the friends there too, and some of the younger kids who were too young to participate, seeing their older siblings doing that, and then going home saying, I can't wait till I'm old enough to do the science fair. This is what I'm going to do. It's just that perpetual love of learning.
I totally agree with that. I think the most valuable thing in my family being in a coma is to have those experiences that I can't really appreciate for, like a science fair. Or like a couple weeks ago, we had a family ball, and you know, we all were there, and they taught me, and we were like, everyone in my kids, 17 out of 6, were just loved it, got in the car with us. You know, and so having other people like-minded to bring purpose into something that I can create for my family on my own, that we're really talking about the value in that. And the book, like, a discussion and things like that, that's been huge to do with that.
Did you guys have anything?
Yeah, where our co-op is smaller to me, it's really simple. Sometimes I wonder if we should still keep doing this. Is it worth it to our community? And one of the moms came up to me before the semester started and said, you know, you're really busy and I was going to come back to co-op. But all Christmas break, my kids asked, we were going back to co-op. We were going to back to co-op. And reminded me, oh yeah, this really is benefiting the kids. This is really worth our time and our investment. And it's been really great for me. We're putting on an entrepreneur bucket at the end of the semester with our entrepreneurs. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm excited to teach my kids. And it's really holding me accountable to do some of these like really beneficial learning experiences for my kids.
Another thing that I think about it too is I can have the ideas, but I'm not the best at carrying it out. And I need the gifts and talents of the people that are most around to be like, well, I can do that, and I can do that. Great, you know, and that collaboration work that they're able to pull off something, you know, bigger, it's like an entrepreneur. And so that's really helpful too, is to be able to have that support from other moms in the areas where I'm not so great at that.
Awesome. So, one other thing I wanted to add, there are some people that are interested in potentially starting a co-op. If you would like to come listen to the wisdom of these co-op leaders because you're feeling ambitious and you're like, we need another small community, you're welcome to join us. But thank you. I wanted to, I have that list. I just wanted to read out. We have several co-ops that are not represented. So Blackfoot Synergy is Cassie, she's here. There are groups in Chalice and here in the area. Idaho Falls has I Family. They're not represented in the group today. Compass, there's a new one called the Curiosity Cooperative. All of these are on that list on the website.
That's Idaho Falls too.
Yeah, Idaho Falls, sorry. Now I'm reading Idaho Falls. Thank you for keeping the partners. There is Classical Conversations, and that's actually all over in this panel. There are groups in the lab. They don't have a name, they're not an official program, but there are groups in the lab. And there are groups in Montpelier or Bear Lake area. They're not an official co-op, but there are groups there. Okay, Focus Hub has Quest, which is Christina here. And the Portland Collective that Zoe talked about. Rexburg has iHome 2.0. They were not able to make it today. Rigby has Rise, which
Waymakers Public Homeschool Community. Waymakers is specifically designated for younger children, and that helps me.
There's that one up, Waymakers?
Waymakers, same right thing. And St. Anthony has a group, several groups, but like Catherine and Avery, they're not official co-ops, but they're very organized groups. So if you're from the St. Anthony area, that would be our favorite. So we've got a little bit of everything everywhere for you guys.
Just a side note, if you're interested in PES, the best thing you can do is come talk to me or the PES member, or we are going to be using websites right now.
Oh, there we go.
They will tell me and I will update it so you can figure it out.
We're just
going to
get that weird conversation.
There you go. Chris just said that you've got groups clear up from Salmon all the way to Preston. So we are here to help you. Thanks. Okay, thank you all for coming. And we can just circle up here and
I talked to one of the co-op leaders of Zion's Academy in Ray, and she's having a baby in the same number. So she didn't come.
Way to be the dad.
Yeah. Do you guys know each other a little bit at all? Any bit?
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys are.
And she's my.
That's too, sorry. Yes. Awesome. Wonderful. Okay. And this is, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Valerie. She is going to come listen and learn.
Valerie's from
Dre.
Ooh, do you have
awesome.
That's awesome.
Hey,
I'm just
going
to say, so Brittany left a message. She's having a baby.
That's good. Oh, that's a good reason for her not to be here.
That's why she's not here. I said, yes.
It's Brittany with that family.
No, is this Brittany McKeith with the Portland Collective?
Brittany Colson.
Oh,
Brittany Colson with the Science Academy.
Oh. Yeah. Which is totally fine. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll send her our love. And we wish her all the best.
So they had a building in Rigby, but then they sold it. And then they built this building. And then so they have a huge group, and they've been having a hard time finding a place to meet. I don't know if that is
yeah.
You have a big group in Aberdeen Library.
Yes.
And so they have to run that group because they don't have a big enough space. And that's how it is about everywhere. But Brittany said, so we utilize parks when we can and our homes the rest of the time. Meeting locations are tough, but not limited to our area. It's a common struggle. I hope that all of your friends can find places to meet and solutions to their meeting challenges. So, you are problem solvers. My conferences and my groups like this, they changed my life, honestly. I have to tell you.
Do you want to join us, Chris?
Huh?
Do you want to join us? Do you guys know Chris? Chris Day, she is the president. She is the mastermind behind this beautiful conference.
I'm the president.
Not true. Okay, let's, can we go and continue with the team discussion that you discussed on how to engage or incorporate teams more? Did you have more for?
Just get a lot busier. Like, I know my junior is like, I have like four AP classes, and they're like, how am I going to add in this thing? And so, it, I don't know. It's interesting. Sorry, I'm not adding anything. I'm like, yes, I feel you. Let's do something with everybody.
But it's a problem for your group, too.
Have you guys done the team?
We only go through eighth grade, but my approach has always been those teams, they're so busy, but they're doing good things, and I don't know necessarily
push them to add co-op, but you're saying there's some that still want it,
exactly.
So yeah.
Where they need to go out and start outside of my
So I'm actually over the teams.
And you started your co-op specifically.
That was the original purpose of it, and then I'm actually over the teams at my co-op. So what we have, like, different classes broke out by age group and gender, and different opportunities for like the younger middle school scholars to get together, and then the older scholars, because they don't always love to intermingle together. But you're right, when they get into that older class, then it does sometimes becomes the same priority as they start taking on college courses and things like that. So we want to create classes that are at a high enough level that it's still worth their time to come to, but the expectation on outside work lowers for teens that age, for that same reason, when it gets to be more, so that they can still feel comfortable coming and participating. And so we focus on discussing the big ideas, but then not necessarily writing the heavier papers and things like that. We like pull back on the academics a little bit on teens that are like in the 15 plus age group. And then also the main reason they continue to come is because we have such a large group and they have a lot of friends there. But even with that, they usually peter out around age 16, 17. When they get to be about juniors, they usually peter out anyway. They've just kind of outgrown it to some extent. And I honestly think that to some extent that's just normal. Like, that's just to be expected, because we've done all kinds of things to try to, like, keep retention on our teams and things like that. And so some things that have helped is having, like, the early registration for anyone over 16, so they don't have to, like, risk not getting the class that they want. They for sure get to get whatever their first top pickup classes are. And then also focusing on having activities especially for the older teens, where the younger ones aren't as...
You need to use that so the mic can catch what we're saying.
Should we just test that?
Oh, sorry.
No, I don't think we need to use the microphone.
You think it's picking it up?
I think it's picking it up just fine. It's amazing what the recorders pick up.
Right.
But
then,
anyway, do you find that the 16, 17-year-olds still have their community of friends, even if they're not
And that's just
to
it,
co-op,
because
right?
Like, we really try to get those families in before they're scholars, so that, well, that's what we call our teens, before they're scholars, so that they have a chance to kind of grow up with those friends. And you know what I mean? And so they've had this time with all these are the people that at this point now, these are the people that they've grown up with. Like the youngest scholars right now, well, my son's 13 and he started with the same group of friends when he was 5. So it's, they've grown up together, and so they're already friends. So even if they're not doing co-op stuff, they're still getting together outside of co-op with their friends to do things. But that's the only thing that has made a little bit of a difference, is by giving them the first pick on classes at 16-year-olds, and then also focusing on having older scholar-specific activities. Oh, and the student council. Yeah. Giving them leadership opportunities where they can, like, plan the activities themselves and, like, give them, like, leadership opportunities with the younger kids where it's a more of a challenge. During our fourth hour, we have other people come in to teach classes, and then we have the teenagers kind of, like, babysit the junior school, but they're actually planning, like, art classes or gym classes and things like that and teaching those classes. And a lot of the older teens are really enjoying that opportunity to, like, plan and teach a class as well. Sorry, that's all I've got for you.
No, that's great. Could you guys?
Yes. You can just speak up.
All right, so here at Compass, so we have 37 kids between the ages of 12 and 18. We have 17 that are 14 and older. And so one of our focuses has been on the teens. And while we have very similar, we have student councils, we have mentorship opportunities for the teenagers to actually teach the youth. We find that public speaking and just public interaction and communication is lacking in today's generation, right? They're fixated on devices. And so we're hoping to break that by, or at least not break it, but make them a little more well-rounded, right? And we have found that our teens have embraced the opportunities to teach nothing complex when it comes to our youth, but something that engages the youth. And so what I love seeing is we have our six-year-olds that love, I have a six-year-old daughter, her best friends are the 14-year-old girls in the co-op. She looks up to them, she idolizes them, and they've been such good examples. And so that's been very encouraging. We also have teen activities that have, we do that monthly, that provide opportunities for those who may be athletes, who they have practices, and maybe because they're on sports teams, they can attend our meetings, which are on Monday afternoons, that they can still participate in those activities. We have showcases as well, I think someone mentioned, and we have, you know, dances and parties that they can attend also, so they still feel a part of things. But yeah, teens, that's when they seem to drop off, and we've been very lucky, just I think with the curriculum that we teach about social skills and just how to balance a checkbook. Hey, this is how you build this. This is how you do these things. If you treat them as pre-grown-ups, they've embraced that in our group.
I like that. Oh, no, you're good. Yes, this is not for me.
Are you looking for, like, interconnection team stuff? Or what are you looking for?
Keeping those teams engaged. You know, we've tried having them teach the artist classes, and sometimes it's like, okay, how much effort did you really put into this, you know? Like, and then the younger kids are like all over the place because they're not engaged, right? And so, I don't know, do you have like a, okay, these are the requirements to teach a class kind of a thing? Like, do you have a...
They have to fill out an application, and then they have a mentor.
They're signing up for the responsibility.
Yeah. And they get paid for it, too.
Yes.
They
get paid. So we have a free market economy with us. So the classes that we offer, you know, they do require supplies, and so each class can vary on its price. But, for example, we had a 15-year-old girl who does ballet, and so she taught a ballet class. So, of course, my 6-year-old daughter, she would, like, sign me up, and so they go and they have their ballet class, and she had a mentor, but she taught the lesson plan, and she was compensated for her time. It was maybe $25 a child, but because it was paid for, she now had a responsibility to provide value to that class, and so we found that to be very beneficial. And so each team, now we may not have a team teach Dungeons and Dragons to class, I mean, but maybe that's a class that others want to do, but practical skills that these children have, yeah.
So does those funds, they come from just the fees that the families pay for the year or for the semester?
Yeah, so we have a registration fee, $75 for the year, and that covers, we go from September to December, and then we go from January to April. And then within those individual classes, we have 4 hours of classes, and some classes vary, and they're $10, right? We don't need a lot of supplies. We're playing with Legos. We're building, we're using creativity. Others are like, we're doing a scouting class. so, you know, we have to, you know, for badges and patches and belt loops, there's some cost involved with that. So it varies. Because it's a free market system, you know, if I charge $150 for my class, I may not get anyone. Well, and that tells me, supply and demand, my price is too high, right? So that actually teaches adults as well. Okay, maybe, and so, and we're not, let me be clear, we're not looking to make a profit here at all. This isn't something that's like, ooh, I'm doing this as a side hustle. Absolutely not. It's basically to cover supplies, because as you know, there are consumable supplies that are used in these classes. Yes.
I know in iFamily, there are classes that the teacher covers her cost for belonging to iFamily, makes classes where her kids are involved in, so I wouldn't say they're doing it for profit, but in a sense, they're still using the class to pay for what they're doing.
Yes.
Do you guys all charge for your co-ops?
Well, we have to pay our building fee and our insurance.
Yeah.
And then all the other legal fees. And then also we use Homeschool Life for registration, which is a program. We use Cognito Forms for filling out surveys and applications and things like that. So we just have costs. And so we charge a family fee that covers those costs. And then we also charge a class fee for covering the cost of materials.
Do you do it, or does the individual teacher do it?
The individual teacher sets the cost. But then as like a board member, like I go through and... Well, they put in class proposals, and then we go through and find out which proposals are going to fit against other ones, so we don't have, like, one class with 30 and then one with two. You
the
know what I mean? So
work.
It is. It's a tricky thing. So we choose the classes, and then we let them set their class fee. But if it's, like, outrageously high, we'll push back and be like, okay, well, why do you need to charge a $65 fee for this class? And the money never goes directly to the parent. It comes into the co-op, and then we reimburse. So they submit receipts for their materials, and then we reimburse them.
You don't do that, do you?
No.
I think you're really similar to my family,
doesn't it? We're a branch off of
And I've also found that you're not, sometimes if people don't pay, they don't show or they don't contribute.
Oh, really?
Like that money value
in the game
kind of puts a little bit different, a different value in it. Not saying that's always the case, but it has been interesting to be like, oh.
It's like, because I family have to clean the building every time when we're done.
Uh-huh.
And people were signing up to do it. So they pay more when they register, and then we give them back.
If they
clean. $10, $20. It was 20, now it's 10. When they clean.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. We follow that program as well.
Yeah.
But there is a benefit to the free market of, like, your time is valuable.
Yeah. And some require more. Like, we have some iPad that are, like, pushing 100. So the athlete. So. And then so I go, are you flipping kidding me? Why are you charged?
But if you bring in professionals or whatever, like we had a cake decorating class where we brought in somebody who was a professional. She wasn't one of the moms, and we paid her. We have a professional artist in our group, and she keeps things cheaper than she should. But sometimes sculpting materials just cost a lot.
Yeah, Portnick Homeschool Collective, they had a ballet class too. They brought someone in to teach the class, but it was only a few semesters and she moved. But it's cool when you can find those ones.
Yeah,
so I'll do it during the day.
Yeah. It's
tricky. Valerie, do you have a spot you can start a co-op?
No. Not even looking at it at the moment. I'm just
listening.
Well, you just covered some of her questions. She had, where do you meet? How do you handle who cleans the space? Fees to cover that space? Do teachers donate their time?
I will
Where do you meet? That thing, you can reach out to local churches. Not all of them will let you use their buildings. And then we've used the Elk Lodge in the past. We've used the Levitt Center. Which is a community center. We could just rent it out for the day. We've used the Veterans Memorial Building. So, like, there's just a couple places, like, for ideas on different places you can go ask and reach out to.
And there are some of your 501c3
libraries
in charge.
What's a 501c3?
Non-profit.
Thank you.
One of the things we have found is the smaller you are, the easier it is to get into someone's building. So, I mean, we use, you know, iFamily has their own building. We use the Scout Council building. That place is monstrous. So, I mean, we could handle more families. We could do probably back in my scaling days, we could have done 75 families, but we've drawn back from that. But the smaller you are, the easier it is. I love the idea about churches. Oddly enough, the Scout building will be available because in our scaling or descaling, we're going to be moving to a church for that reason, because that feeling of unity and community. We were at a church. We got too big, and we used the Scout building as only a temporary. So we've been through the process of talking with multiple locations about this, so I'm very familiar. The smaller you are, the easier it is to find something.
Also, you get closer to the mothers.
to each other when it is smaller.
I noticed that about Portnup Homeschool, because I've been part of them for like 4 years. They were small, and then they were like growing because so many families wanted to join, and then it got weird, and it was like, it kind of felt like us and them, kind of with the board, and the, it was weird, because it is, when you get too big, it becomes non-personal, and then we noticed a lot of people left, and so it got smaller, and then it got a little better, but yeah.
Yeah, but our Aberdeen one's really small, because we're a small community, kind of like Drake's, yeah. But we meet at the library. I don't know what the rules are at all the libraries, but our athletic
yeah, I don't know. Ours doesn't have rules.
It's just like different.
And they love it. They encourage us, because like they get more funding, and heads are in there checking out books.
So that's one place you could
good. Yeah, for like a
libraries.
And we just do one class, so it's not everyone else. Is, so
we have to try to keep ours at the minimum we need to be able to afford it. That's the size we try to keep ours. Our building is pretty big, so but we try to keep it.
And our building lets us come for free, but we donate. So.
I mean, technically, that's what we do. But
yeah.
Legally, that's what we do. We have a contract.
It's 11:45. I just value all of your time. Lunch is right after this. I am free. We can keep going if you have time. We've got more questions, or if you guys had other plans. It was scheduled from 11 to 11:45, so I just want to make sure that
I need to get out to my boot camp.
That's fair. So yeah.
I love co-ops. Personally, I think there's a benefit to co-ops for your kids and for you.
My children really need it.
That's where my kids' friend pool came from, was the co-ops.
Yeah. Some other questions that were asked were things like, how do you do registration? How do you cap your registration?
That's hard. Because you feel bad.
Like, yeah, like, what does that look like? Let's see, maybe you don't want to talk. I'm just going to read off things that we haven't talked about. Communication, effective ways to communicate.
How do you guys do it?
We use BAND. We use the BAND app, and it's been great.
That's what we use, too.
We just have
Slack.
We just have
Slack.
A Facebook.
Is that similar?
It's like a Facebook page, but it's more like
yeah, it's cleaner and easier to get
Slack.
Notifications.
You use Slack.
We use Slack.
Oh, you use Slack.
You guys do.
We just started this new one. I'm actually going to look it up. So you're with iFamily, right? Okay. So we had, I'm being completely transparent, but we had a minor incident at Compass this last year, which had us rethink security, right? In essence, communication. I know that iFamily deals with that. Well, we all deal with that. And in the building where we are, we have other businesses that are in that we share the space with. We have our part of the building and they have their part of the building, but we have a central door. And so that door can't be locked. And I know with iFamily and with others, you can lock that down. So we didn't have anyone, we just had a situation where one of the members was going through some family issues and had let us know that there had been a restraining order put in place. Anyway, long story short, that gentleman came and we realized that we didn't have a great way to communicate with our people. We had Facebook, we had email, Slack is an option as well, but we used something and I if you give me 2 minutes, I can find the name of it. But I wasn't in charge of the one looking for it. But what it is it's basically a text communication thing that is sent to everyone. We get charged every time we text. I think it's 50 cents every time or whatever. And that allows people to be notified in situations like that.
In an emergency.
So of course, nothing happened, but it was just good to be like, oh, if this happens, we should probably have something.
Yeah, we had walkie-talkies at one point for like 2 semesters, but nobody used them, so we don't use them anymore.
That would be great to
at Portnup Homeschool Collective, just because, at Levitt Center, there's a lot of different areas. So we used to have walkie-talkies for security, but we haven't been using them lately. So that's a good point, though, like to think about security.
Well, we were just big enough that we needed, we were on multiple floors as well, and we had to.
With the registration thing, we've tried having class caps, and we've tried having it be no class caps and things like that. And so there's pros and cons to both ways of doing it. Generally speaking, we let the teachers cap the classes.
I was going to say our teachers cap them.
Yeah. But we also keep that in mind, too, because some teachers don't mind having unlimited students. But then when we have competing classes, that means another class is going to get, like, two or something and get canceled. And so...
But that's part of the program. But that is, I mean, to me, that's part of the
I know.
The
and then when you're in a free market style like that, that's yeah. one thing. But when we're paying for a set of classes, because we're not free market like that, we have, like, a set of classes and everybody goes to a class every hour and things like that. And so we do it structured a little bit differently. But
and there's really a teaching requirement, too.
And we have a teaching requirement as well that you have to be due to participate. Teach. So,
yeah. As a yeah. mom or a parent,
as a parent,
or
parent.
Parent.
Is
the same for Portland. You have to teach.
In part because we don't have enough.
Oh, each parent has
yeah.
to teach.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Like, I was in one that we did that.
But yeah. maybe yeah. she can talk about fees because for Aberdeen, we don't really charge a fee.
No, we don't have many fees. We do like.
So like a registration?
We do like $5 a kid, and that's enough for me to buy. I mean, we've done more. Like, depends what curriculum we're planning. So I just kind of plan out how much it's going to cost for curriculum and some, our supply box in the library. And if they will pay for the field trips or extras. But
just because, like, knowing your area.
If you want to do something simple, yeah. like in a smaller town,
or just to start out.
Yeah. Because you gather
one
all
curriculum
ages.
And we split into age groups. So we have a preschool class, a K to third, and then a fourth to eighth. So we last semester had four classes, we had more kids, but we just do three age group classes.
Okay.
So that's worked.
I think your clock is a little bit bigger, though. That Homeschool Life program has been amazing for registration.
What is that?
It's called Homeschool Life, and just on the back end, for setting up classes, putting in fees, doing the registration is very, very, very smooth for the administration side. And when we switched to that, that was game changer for us.
Just one thing I just
I don't remember
thought of was it's Portland Homeschool, just, like two semesters ago, they did apply for grants. So they did get money for some classes, like they had to video classes and like submit a lot of information, but I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I know they did get some grants to help with the cost. So there is that, like, and I know being in like a small area, a rural area, there is more opportunity for some stuff like that.
Another thing that we've used when we're smaller or whatever is job forms. There's so much you can do with those where you send out a job form and it immediately goes to Google Docs. So it saves so much time, like transferring, you know, things like that, which is probably similar to what Homeschool Life does, but we didn't have that.
Yeah.
That's been something that's been really helpful
too. Thank you. Got another one.
Do you have any more questions?
I think all these resources are online. Yeah. It's still a work in progress. I mean, you start something, then you tweak until it fits.
If you're going to exchange enough money, though, I would recommend starting with your nonprofit status early. It's easier to start that early than go back and do it. Just,
yeah. It's helpful. That nonprofit status is helpful.
And you can buy a burner phone from Walmart to get a Venmo set up, too.
Oh, that's
really?
A pro tip. I had no idea.
Because then it's not going through your Venmo and taxes and all the other
and
stuff.
All the,
and then
yeah,
you can have it be its own account.
Nice idea.
It's like a track phone. They're not very expensive. We were just like trying to figure out how to get it all set up because Venmo's stupid. But anyway, that's what we finally came up with, and it's worked great. So
and
that
you
was
just keep the phone.
And the treasurer
that
keeps
does.
The phone.
That's
all. That's the only reason we have the phone. Sometimes someone got the number and called the treasurer, and we're like, how did you even get this number? Anyway,
that's brilliant though, because we wondered about the Venmo thing.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it would just stay.
PayPal. Ever since we got Venmo, I use Venmo for my class.
Yeah.
See, this is so good. Would you guys be interested in another conversation like this?
Like next year or like next week?
Not next week. We had one specific group that was like, I don't want to meet with the people all the way from who knows where because that's not going to benefit me. They're like, further away in East Idaho. Like, could we do something like smaller and more local and smaller and more local? So like, would Chris would love more collaboration between like the co-ops. That was the whole point. And so is doing something like this with, you know, maybe all the ones in Rigby and all the ones in Idaho Falls and I don't know, you know, you could come to, or, you know, Pocatello or Idaho Falls, you know, like, would that be beneficial to get into another small group? This one kind of covered all of East Idaho to talk about these ideas and experiences and to problem solve or share.
No, it would be nice to have a, like a list of just different, if you have a question for a specific co-op, you could just call them directly.
And it's, I've got all of their contact phone numbers. It's on our website.
Website. Mm-hmm.
I think that's enough. Because then okay. You can reach out to the local ones near us and say, hey, we're putting on a prom or whatever, you know.
Starting up, or like we just recently had our first change from president, vice president, you know, the first leadership shift, and we've come up with, you know, a bunch of issues that came up in just doing that. That would be nice to be like, what are other people doing about this? If there was like one contact, like say the secretary or something, in each that we had a place we could be like, let me ask that question. What other co-ops are doing? You know,
well,
like
co-ops, they change. Everybody changes their own presidents. I mean, their own leadership.
Called like, I'm a leader of the co-op or something like that. And then they had like a whole group, and it's like nationwide where they came to like troubleshoot like leadership problems with homeschooling co-ops. I don't know how I get that information to you because it's from my sister-in-law. I'll just text her.
Or even if we just started that within our
We got a Slack group. I'm just like, this is what I'm struggling with leadership.
This is my question. Like the Venmo thing, I've been trying to figure out because like the PO box and the Venmo, whose name's on what,
on whose bank account is
they don't
where.
Want to be on it anymore, and so how does that transfer? But then you have to do it again, and that changes, you know. And so having that idea, like the phone, and it just goes with whoever's in charge.
Would a Facebook page be the benefit, or would it be better to have like the president or the secretary's like phone number?
I vote that because I'm so sick of passwords and different organizations and different things.
Well, because you can like
cause
go.
Cause everybody looks at the same place.
I almost wonder if there's just like a group. Just a group. You know,
thank
that
you.
I can put it on there and get a message.
Joey, yes, you too. I'm sorry, I forget
Kayla.
Your name. Kayla, I'm so glad you
thank
guys
you.
Could come. Enjoy lunch and the rest of the conference. So, okay, sorry, I got interrupted. I heard the
like
group meet and then I missed the rest.
A lot of people are on band or Slack or what I know is like one
Facebook.
More thing to have a password for, but I mean something like that.
Band would be great.
And
even on this resource page that you have, if there was a look like submitted questions or, you know, but I don't know if that would
do you want to
get a response where if you had one person.
I don't want to monitor submit a question from everybody. We've already got an email for that. My goal is to connect you guys. You guys are a resource to each other.
To me, the web page is fine.
Like,
here,
I'm happy to share with whatever.
If you start
so we have the web page. Not every leader is okay with their phone number being shared. The only contact information you have is like their specific email or their specific
emailing out
page.
On the list and saying, hey,
versus I have a private copy because of my position to have their phone numbers, but I don't know if they all want each other to have their phone numbers because it'll also change. So it's just trying to respect everybody. But GroupMe allows that taking away and taking off really easily without constant text group messages.
Yeah.
I feel like there was another one that was thrown out that was like GroupMe and I missed it. GroupMe, Facebook, what was
Slack, Band.
Band, that was the one that I'm...
Appreciate you did a great job.
Yeah, you
thank
did.
You. I appreciate that you came and you took time and that you guys like shared. I hope that people learned a little bit about co-ops, but really I hope you guys got something out of it that can benefit your personal co-ops or just knowing other people.
Knowing that there are other people.
So it was so beneficial. And Megan, you should have been here. You would have learned so much. So we need to have a conversation. Little Miss, you want to? She's the one that wants to start a co-op for sure.
If you have any questions, feel free to let us know. I know that Compass co-op. So
but there was
feel free to reach out.
And we just
we're settled now.
Thank you, Christina. Good luck with your booth, and thank you for speaking.
And not as bad as I anticipated. Not as bad as more people. So that's hoping for a cohort.
Yeah, because I've talked to the leader.
Have a good day, Adam. Are you staying for any more?
You're going to be the lifeblood of it, and you have to, like, and it's
yeah, I get
yeah,
it. I get it. Appreciate
like,
you.
That sounds like a lot of work for you. So much work, but I'm just like,
because I just want to.
Yeah.
I can't, and I don't want to. Everybody in our group has a specific responsibility.
If they sign up and those responsibilities shift up, then you can't do it. That's the thing.
But we're staying along, and we're here. And we're tired. I'm just tired. Okay. And I want to do all the things, but I can't. I can't do where my teams need and be where my leaders need all at the same time.
Well, and that's my biggest reason why I want to start with. I'm a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So she needs her interaction. She's like ready for real. She's ready for being shy enough. Like, I think we need to go off. Like, I need that. Because I don't need to keep walking on my love.
That would have. No one was able to make it. That's what they told me, which is fine. But that would have been very
beneficial. I've family's been around a long time now.
Yeah.
they've ironed out doctors and everything. After that, it's sick. And you really do lose. I mean, it's interesting because we had a little group in Idaho Falls Library, and then it grew, and then that's when my family started, came out of that group. But that group in the library, those mothers, I'm still really close with.
Because they're like Tracy and...
Mm-hmm. Tracy was,
no, Tracy wasn't part of that one.
Thing.
Oh.
Jen Anderson was. They were just...
I know Jen.
Yeah, it was just a few of us. Yeah, we're just, you know, just got a lot of
problems. Yeah. You know what? That's how I feel with Megan and Nicole and Adrian. Those are their four moms. We got together for 2 years every week. And now our kids are getting a little older and we're all like, we need a little more, but all of us are like super busy. So, anyways. I was wondering why you guys were all in sparkly cuteness. I was like, you guys are just fashion statements. Your talk was amazing, Grant, by the way.
You.
Fabulous. I was laughing so hard at the beginning. You spoke truth, and I loved it.
It is a good place to start, though. It's all good.
Yeah. I feel like I was forgetting something. Oh, thank you for coming. Are you staying for a little bit?
I actually have to pick my husband up.
Yep, life moves on.
It does, which is weird. So do we have performers?
I think that we've got a song performing
cool.
Near the end. But I
kind of feel like I should get matches.
I was not in charge of the music. That is not my department. I mean, I'm good at music.
It's good to have
not my part of this
experience.
Yeah.
See you later, so, Millers.
Anyways.
Yeah. I thought it went well.
What do you think?
I think it went really well, considering I wasn't sure how it was going to go.
Yeah.
So.
Are you Justin's mom?
I sure am.
Oh,
he talks about you often, and I appreciate how you taught him to be a gentleman because I taught him to trust his sister. So you do good work. One doesn't have children at all, and the other two don't have children yet.
Are they, like, Riverside area? Are they, like, from town?
One is over by the reservation, or out on the west side. And then the two are on the
west side. I just know our little small town, but probably not.
Yeah, we still have land to do that, apparently.
No, we don't. According to who
right.
We talk to. I'm sorry, they're offensive.
I'm okay with that. That's why I'm like Idaho. Sometimes people come and I'm like, let's move to Montana. And then we'll eventually end up in Canada. But, you know, and then maybe the North Pole.
If you go to Wyoming,
I don't want to be in Wyoming.
That's why there's no one.
I do like people in that I'm in favor.
Yeah.
With a little bit, so I might not always be able to make it.
Most of the time I wonder if I could make it. It's at my house.
Well, that's why you have a come as you are.
Open
welcome
door.
To
you
whatever
can come,
I
you
am.
You can leave, and it's just going to be what it is.
January slump. Like, I think we're educated. Oh. That's so funny. It's because you start out so good, and then you're like, oh, we can just take off for the holidays. And then you're like,
no. Especially when my kids like to start getting out really hard in February. February to May. Keep your oxygen mask properly and spice
them. Yeah, because they don't want to use that, but they have
so much.
Nice.
all at the same time.
I did 2 weeks.
Why do they do that?
I think it should rain just to make it more fun. I'll pass through.
So, yeah. And like, there's things I didn't know when I had, you know, 9 and under, about my routines. It's like, oh, this is why people shut down. I'm like, great, very well.
Yeah.
From February. Yeah. Because that's what things do.
That's when I'm like, it's, there's nothing going on. That's when I'm like, plan everything. But I have little kids, so nothing's going on.
It's kind of
weird. It is a
boring. And in both areas, too. I mean, just because that last thing has done doesn't mean it's not good.
Yes. Oh, and you don't have to. A mom told me recently, she's like, you don't actually have to enjoy all the time. You can find joy, but you don't have to enjoy it. And I'm just like, you are a wise woman.
Where are you? Like, what is my memory? India. Are you my kid? I don't know. I'll hug you anyway. Do you need a hug? You're loved.
Who am I? I will show you that you are loved because you are loved.
But that's sometimes all I got. Can I take a picture just to like in 6 years to remind me that I have?
That's almost the only reason I snap pictures. Just a couple, and I'm like, oh yeah, we did do that. I do stuff. Okay.
I know. There were things that like I used to record that have been coming up. I was like, oh, I should start doing that again. But now my kids are making fun of me because I was like, tell me what you learned about Macbeth, and they're 6. Who was your favorite character? So that's what they've been running around. Who was your favorite character? If you don't have one, you obviously are still.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to journal.
It's like, check. So I've started doing that again because my younger ones, they're in the shadow, but I've stopped recording because it's like, I wasn't okay with
this. Oh, no, it is. Because you enjoy going back and looking.
Yeah.
No,
this is okay. Can I get your help?
Yeah.
You can also
help her away. This is
the other Kathy that I keep telling you. I have a best friend from high school. Kathy, that we're still connected with. And he's like, wait, what? Cassie, what's wrong with you? Kids are home. What are you talking about?
This doesn't make sense. These
life changes. Really fast. Because I've got 8 kids.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, she's in black, but
Rachel
she was
amazing.
The one that had let me pick her brain. So,
there's not much to pick. What's there, I'll offer.
Whatever.
Kernels.
Your advice about, like, gathering has, like, been, like, gives more attention to anything that I go and do now. Like, that was such a cool little... You should text me the book, because I forgot the... You said it was...
Art of Gathering.
Oh, there you go.
Just type in Google it.
There you go.
Art of Gathering. So I'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think...
I was so nervous at first.
You just got nervous?
No, I didn't. As soon as I got there and I met people's faces, I was like, I'm good, we're fine. But the whole
anticipation,
who are these people and where are they? And
are they going to show up?
That's how I know.
Oh,
every week.
Okay, how much is it?
Okay, well, drive safe.
Will you
ask your husband? Oh, I've never been there. A few minutes and see what it looks like.
Hey, where are you? How are you?
Yeah, I see that. We got the car to drive here and I was like, it's so quiet.
I don't know what to talk about. There's a part where it's like, should we cover anything really important? Because we're not going to get this message again.
Right? Or do we just enjoy our own thoughts? What are those?
Maybe we should be quiet.
Okay, my heart. Okay.
Have a good one.
Me too.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Okay, take me away. Drag me. Here we go.
Uncle Barry's. It's on YouTube. Will you figure out how to pull it up together?
Are you in the ball?
That is what it says. There's somebody else in the room. They were setting
up.
Yeah, I would follow what the thing says.
Those look strange.
That was so fun.
What?
Those ladies, those co-op leaders. Yes, Paul, it was so fun. I think it turned out okay. I don't know if the mingle part of asking questions was beneficial to anything that showed up, but the discussion of the leaders that was good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good purchase.
I
am too.
I want my kids to learn about like.
Wait, what is it?
The circus kit.
Oh, I want one of those.
She's got them put together really cute. She's done. And they're so simple, and Jacob would love this.
Well, that's what I'm like,
okay, good. Okay. Lysons like, could totally just do this.
Right? And you're exposing to something that's actually pretty, that's your interest, could be a good.
Yeah.
I kind of like, I probably would have might have followed that route more if I thought about it.
The trade route?
The electrician?
Electrician specifically.
I didn't know that. You like electricity that way.
No, I've had to do it like when I was working on the farm.
I know.
No, it's interesting. Like I've done it.
Oh,
like,
oh the learning actually, of
how. Like I learned it so I didn't have to pay an electrician. You do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, Justin does that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you learn a lot of things because you don't want to pay somebody else to do it.
I would probably forego having a nice looking trim and doing it myself and paying Justin.
I guess that's fair. My brain is like, I'd rather have the nice looking trim, but he's taught me how to walk into a house and go, oh, they didn't have their
trim. That's why he thought this house was such a crappy.
Well, he did point out almost everything. No, when we got there, the lights wouldn't turn on.
Oh, really?
Like the first light right there by the front door.
Yeah.
So we were like,
light switches are kind of sketchy.
Kind of like wandering, and it was pitch dark. The kitchen window was open, like we had it open for breakfast, and it was 60 degrees.
Yeah.
And the first thing we did when he walked down those stairs is he almost biffed it on
the one that came off part?
Thing, yeah. On
that
the
stuck tape off.
Why are we talking about this?
No, we got talking about like.
Because it's such an awesome place to stay.
How much things you learn to do ourselves rather than paying someone?
Yeah.
Like electrical like work.
And then I was like, a doorknob that actually works on a bathroom door.
And I'm like, you know, I can't go for go have like a good looking trim and do it myself.
Nice part is you're behind the wall.
I can't afford that guy.
Can't afford the guy who can do it well, though. I will do it myself.
I will figure it out.
And that's why you get paint all over the floors and all over.
He doesn't paint like, them.
No, this house.
Oh.
Everywhere. I'm just like, why is there paint everywhere? Like,
did you see how they had like laid down the flooring and then it's like they were always like, oh, we should repaint the walls. And then they painted. They didn't cover the flooring. Like you could. I'm like, if you're gonna paint, do it before you replace the flooring.
Yeah. Anyways, there's a lot of things in the house. I was like,
if you could do it yourself, Airbnb, it was fine.
Yeah, good luck.
The sheets didn't have dirt or grub in here.
Yeah,
I gotta go help.
Okay.
Who is using this?
I just was in there. And then I think Brianne Duffin and her girls were practicing for a performance or something that they're doing.
Is that what's up on the screen?
No, I think. I don't. Was that Brianne? That might have been. Oh no, How to Think, Not What to Think. That was. That's Adam Hale's
okay,
stuff.
So
that was. We can close it.
Okay. You can figure that out. And then cue it up so that we can play it.
Yeah, we'll make you a steak dinner, but we don't do it on the grill. We do pork and rice.
It's just right here. Right?
Class. I was totally focused on that right there, so I feel like I'm free. I'm a free bird. I'm light as a feather. Light as a feather. Okay, well, come find me if you need me, I guess. Oh.
Can I borrow one of your books and talk about it? Okay.
Which one did you want to take?
The flip chart was the interesting one.
I like people. I can hear you now. I enjoyed it. Yeah, there's a lot of similarity. You guys get along great. I mean, that's what. Hi, how are you?
I have to